Well, good morning. It's nice to have you all here. It's nice to have visitors with us as well as our regular church family. It's a wonderful thing that we can share stories and worship together and give thanks to God for bringing us together today. Our gospel reading for this day is really strange. It's very different, and because we see several things that occur. And we're seeing how Jesus takes the three disciples, Peter, James, and John. They go up to the mountain, and there on the mountain, something happens. And Jesus is transfigured. His appearance changes. And while this is going on, suddenly two great individuals of the Old Testament show up, Moses and Elijah, and they're shown talking to Jesus, and Peter doesn't know what to do. And so he just blurts out, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build a remembrance. Let's take a picture of this and remember this." This is what we do, right? When we go to places, and we oftentimes when we're out to Disney World or Disneyland or out doing things, we spend half our time taking pictures of these events when we're not really even enjoying the events because we're too busy taking a picture to remember those events. And Peter, not knowing what to say, this is the first thing he blurts out of his mouth. And when he's all done, suddenly this great cloud surrounds them. And they fall in fear. And this voice is heard, the voice that I interrupted just a few moments ago. "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And then after it was all said and done, Jesus comes and he comes to the disciples and says, "Don't be afraid." And they get up and they go back down the mountain. And Jesus says, "Don't say anything about this." I can't imagine how they could hold that in. But then again, if you're terrified, maybe it's something you don't want to share. But they just had an encounter with God. Much like Moses on Mount Sinai, much like the elders who went up with him in one of the stories, and they bear witness to who God is, and after it's all said and done, they are so terrified, they said to Moses, "Don't ever make us do this again." Sometimes encounters with God can be awe-inspiring, and sometimes they're fearful. Sometimes they're very difficult things that happen. And sometimes they're all these things combined. In the Celtic tradition, they call these places thin places. Thin places are places where we as human beings come into contact with God. Now it's not our doing, it's how God comes and reaches down to us. In the Celtic tradition, a lot of that would happen on mountaintops, or at riversides, or perhaps in spaces of large masses of water. You know, there's a New Age thing that says if you go out to Sedona, Arizona, the red rocks out there, that everything's supposed to be a perfect alignment, and that there's this electromagnetic vortex that's there that's supposed to be great for you. Now, I don't know anything about that. I've been to Sedona. It is beautiful. But I want to suggest to you that you most likely had one of those experiences with a thin place. Maybe not once, maybe not twice, maybe quite a few life experiences. I want to suggest that perhaps De Caloris has that experience this past weekend. And I want to say to you that may happen to you, and it can be in a very normal place that you don't even expect it. I could share a whole lifetime's worth of experiences of these thin places. My first experience was when I was in ninth grade, and I was sitting in a Good Friday service. My dad was the pastor. And as pastor's kids are, you know, it's like, this is something my dad does. It's like, oh, okay, nothing special. And you just kind of, you go along because your parents make you go. PKs are no different. Preacher kids, actually, they're worse. And And I just remember sitting there, Good Friday evening, and it was quiet. I don't know when in the service it was. I can't remember those things. I can't remember whether it was after my dad had preached, after we had the whole passion story of Jesus, the whole experience of his death on the cross and laying him in the tomb. I just remember that there was this quiet space in the midst of that, that at some moment in time, God reached down and grabbed me in such a way that it shook me awake. And I recognized indeed the gift of love that he gave to me through the gift of his son. Now, you would say, well, David, you should have known better. I mean, after all, you grew up in a preacher's family, and you lived with Bible stories being told to you at bedtimes and all these things, and that your parents most likely talked about the love of God. And yes, they did. They did do all those things. But it didn't connect. Like one in one ear and out the other. But that day, something happened to me that changed my life. It turned me in a different direction. You heard me say to the kids about, and this is not a joke, I really wanted to be a fireman. It was either to be a fireman or a cook. And in ninth grade, at then and there, I knew I was going to be serving God. And it was at that moment that, you know, I got involved in a lot of different things, but God had transformed me. He had changed me, a kid. Now, I'm going to share with you one other story that happened to me probably 12 or 13 years ago, and this was on a retreat. It was actually my first experience with Celtic spirituality. And it was in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And I was at a retreat center, and this is shortly after I was officially divorced and not feeling real good about myself. A lot of things had happened to me, a lot of pain, not feeling very worthy, not feeling like I really was called by God, forgetting all these things that I learned. And I'm sitting and I'm listening to the speaker, whose name is Phil Newell, a wonderful individual who's written many books, and I recommend him. Look him up in Amazon, you'll find him. Start speaking about the Celtic understanding of God's love for people. And talking about the Gospel of John, because that's the gospel they kind of centered on. And as you know, the Gospel of John comes in many layers. It's like John, who writes this, is inviting you into this special relationship, and the more you get to know John, the personality of the gospel, the more that you're drawn in. And the more that you're drawn in, the more questions you have, and the more questions you have, there's this sudden sacredness that you experience with the Holy Spirit pulling you into a deeper and deeper and deeper understanding. John, the gospel writer, is known as John of Love in the Celtic tradition. And indeed, they recognize that human failure is very much present, but they also recognize and reminded all of us as we gathered, and I remind you, that when God created humankind, he created us good. And he saw that it was good. And yeah, we did screw it up. We've broken the laws. We've done all these different things. We've done terrible things. And I'm thinking about how my divorce impacts my two sons, who at that point were out of the house, but still, I wondered what they were thinking about their father. I was wondering what it would be as far as my how I was going to relate to my former wife. I was wondering how I was going to relate to those who I ministered to in my setting as a chaplain in a long-term care facility. I wondered about where I was going to live and how I was going to do what I felt God had called me to do. And there's this broken person. And I just kept hearing Phil Newell talking about John of Love, John of Love, John of Love. And I kept hearing him talk about God's love was so great for us and this gift of his son. And I heard it so many times in prior times, but it must have been that there was a thin place at that point in time in Santa Fe, New Mexico, 13 years ago. And again, it was like God just kind of reached down and just surrounded me with his love and said, you are mine. He says, you still have work to do. So stop feeling sorry for yourself and get back up on your feet, because my healing's here for you as it is for everyone. Another life-changing moment. Peter, James, and John perhaps didn't know at the time when they were on the mountain what they were experiencing with Jesus. I'm sure they were very confused. I'm sure they wanted to stay up there because, you know, when we have those moments, those encounters in sin spaces, we don't want to leave them, because there's this sense of this closeness and this embracing of God's love all around you, and the fearfulness of losing that when you leave that moment. But Jesus knew what he had to do. He knew that he had to go to Jerusalem, and he knew the direction in which he needed to go. And even though he's told the disciples over and over again what was to happen to him, they failed to understand. And even though they were there in a thin moment, a thin space, eventually that thin space became very understandable to them when Jesus rose from the dead. Sometimes those encounters we have take a while to process, take a while to hit us. And I want to also suggest that I can't give you a tour guide book to say this is how you find those thin spaces that you're looking for, nor should you really want to, because they aren't always a warm, fuzzy moment. Sometimes they are come in forms of human crisis, the time a loved one is dying, a time when we're just told that somebody has end-stage cancer, a time when perhaps we learn about the fact that somebody close to us lost their job. And in those thin spaces, how is it that God transforms us? Today, I want to encourage you, just as the worship renewal team is encouraging you as you look to enter the worship space. It doesn't matter whether it's here at St. Luke's or any church that you belong to. This is a special gathering. It's special because we have so many visitors with us today, but it's special because we come, and I don't know whether you expect it or not, but God encounters us here. God is here reaching down to us, reminding us of his words of forgiveness and love, and encouraging us by the gift of the Holy Spirit that we are pushed out into the world, that it doesn't stop when this hour or hour and 15 minutes is over. But when we go out these doors and we go back to our places of work, I want to encourage you to see that there are thin spaces out there as well. And in fact, there are those who feel that perhaps the church is too sheltering. I think, yes, indeed, we need a safe space. We need a place where we can come and find to get our thoughts together and to find that there is strength and comfort in the presence of God. But we also know that when we go out there, God's presence hasn't changed. He's out there with us as well. His Holy Spirit drives us out in the community. And perhaps where we should be most times is out there and not in here. And today especially, it just seems that we are in such a world of chaos. And we find ourselves, there's arguments about how we should be this way or that way or whatever else. And you know what? God's made it very clear as to how we are to be. He says we are his children. And as his children, he has loved us through Christ. And therefore, we are to love one another as Christ has loved us. It doesn't stop when you encounter somebody of a different race or color. It doesn't matter whether we come across somebody of a different faith or denomination. It doesn't matter where our status is as far as our income or anything. It is that God's love is for all people. And I think, as hard as it is to hear God out there in the midst of Trump world and our workplaces and everything else, God's speaking to us. And God is transforming us. We are being changed at this very moment. And whether you realize it or not, when you leave this place, God has forgiven you. God has again affirmed you as his children, that he has adopted you, that he loves you and enfolds you in his arms, and that he has given you the power of the gift of the Holy Spirit that enables you to speak his word of love wherever it is that you go, and that you need not be afraid. How in the world did we come to this place today to this witness unless the disciples themselves were charged by the Spirit after the resurrection and were pushed out of the world? It's because of their witness to Christ that we witness today. Because of what someone else has written down as a way of helping us to remember the Gospels and the letters of Paul and whatever else that we encounter in Scripture, these are the ways in which we are again sharing witness of God's love. Now, before we stop here, I wanted to share with you one more story that I read somewhere, and I wish I could remember the name of the town, but it was a little town, a very small town. It's like my first call was in Sheffield, Pennsylvania. I'm sure nobody knows where that is here in Michigan. Northwestern Pennsylvania, it's in the heart of the Allegheny National Forest. And there's one blinking red light down in town, if you want to call it that. And just a little bit up off, there's an actual red light in the town as well. But in town, there is a hardware store that has large windows. And inside, if you walk into, and it's Peterson's Hardware, and you'd always go in and you see Pete. But on to the left side, there were seven or eight lawn chairs, those white ones, you know, that you sit in, they're stationary. And every morning that you would drive by that hardware store would be seven or eight older gentlemen of the community sitting there and having their gossip and their coffee. And the story that I want to share with you comes in a similar place, only it's the only cafe in town that doubles as a bar. And in the front of that cafe, bar, was a table right by the door that was there for any weary traveler that happened to stop by Podunk, whatever it is. And so the local clergy would go there. You'd see the local postmaster would be there. Farmers, whoever happened to be working, would sit there and they would talk. That was the place to gather. And they found out that one of their community members had been diagnosed with cancer. And they were trying to figure out what they could do for their friend. So they came up with an idea. One of them said, let's put a list together and have, because he had to go to the city to get radiation treatment, and it was a 2-hour drive. So they decided, and he had to make 20 or so trips, I can't remember, but they decided they'd put a sign-up list, and they had so many people sign up for it, they had to negotiate as to who really could drive this person back and forth to the hospital. And in fact, they doubled up so that the person would not just have one person taking them, but there would be maybe two or three others accompanying them. And what began to happen was, as they were taking this individual with cancer to and from, they were hearing his story, but at the same time, he was hearing theirs. And as they were sharing their concern and their love for each other, ultimately what would happen at the end of the whole thing, and at the end of the story, it doesn't say whether the person was healed or not, but what it did say is that through those conversations and those trips, even though perhaps maybe he wasn't healed, he was transformed because of the life of those who shared with him changed his life. God works in such marvelous and mysterious ways. So I want you to be aware of those thin spaces and maybe be quiet. That's what, you know, Peter didn't know what to do when he saw all this stuff going on. And so he just, whatever came off the top of his head is oh, let's build these tabernacles for, and before he was done with it, You know, it was like God saying, Peter, shut up. Listen to me. This is my beloved son, and I want you to listen to him. And so today, it's the same thing. How does this gospel transform you? And you hear the words of God saying, this is my beloved son, listen to him. So may God bless you in your journeys. And may you be filled with his Holy Spirit. And may you experience the transforming grace and love that God offers to each of his children. And may we go forth with confidence, with the understanding we are fully embraced in his love, and that we have nothing to be afraid of when we go out in that world, because God is with us. Amen.